and here we go with another edition of We Talk Wrestling with Addie and Mo. Hey, yo, I'm Addie.
Hey, yo, I'm Mo, and Addie, I want you to know that we are never, ever getting back together.
Again?
Anyways, We Talk Wrestling. Let's do that.
We do. Monday Night Raw. Daniel Bryan.
Well, first off, I want to talk a little bit about SummerSlam.
Yes.
Because we watched SummerSlam. We did a post-show. We were not as high on it. I think you gave it, like, what, 6.5 out of 10?
6.5.
And I think you gave it, like, a 5.5, 6.
Yeah.
Like, we weren't nearly as high on it. And I said it's because, you know, I mean, there was like 8 matches. 5 of them weren't very good. One of them was bloody awful.
I thought it was because you were high on something else.
Kayfabe.
Oh, right.
Kayfabe.
They restarted at 420, right?
But 3 of the matches were good, and I gave the best match to Punk and Lesnar like 3.75.
That's Sabu.
It is hot in here.
Hot. We get the window open, though.
Yeah. So we gave it a 3.75, so I was like, you know, I mean, and then I think I saw everybody else was just praising this event, praising it. Because all that really mattered to them was that those matches, especially the 2 top matches.
2 tops, yeah.
That they really delivered for people, and they did. And people liked the storyline with Triple H. And I was also thinking part of it was that we watched in a room. We watched at your place, very, very hot there. We had the air conditioning and the fan going, and we didn't have the speakers too loud. So I don't think we were properly hearing, engaging the fan reaction. And when you, that helps immerse you into an event. It was, and kind of makes it more enjoyable.
I made it hot on purpose, though. I had, like, the furnace on and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Because we're watching SummerSlam.
We need
to feel the heat.
Yeah. And we did.
We did.
But, yeah, so I think that's one of the reasons.
And there was a Ring of Fire match, and so I thought we could be more empathetic that way.
So, were we too hard on it?
Your mom?
No, SummerSlam.
Oh, SummerSlam. Yeah, I think so. I think I went back and I watched the CM Punk Brock Lesnar match Monday, the next day, just in the afternoon because I was off. And, I just myself without, you know, us talking or the noise or anything like that. And I thought what we thought is we really enjoyed the final sequence. And what I had thought, please, personally, is that watching it back, that final sequence actually was longer than I had given it credit for when we did the recap. I was thinking, I'd say if it was a 20-minute match, the final sequence was, say, you know, 3-4 minutes, when in fact it was probably 8 or 9. Mm-hmm. So, like, the good, and then they had a good open, too. So, there was a bit of a lull and a bit of a sports entertainment-y, as we said, feel to it, but that was a lot less than when I'd watched it the second time I came away with. So, I would say we said about 3.75. I'd probably bump it up 0.5 to 4.25.
Okay.
So.
Yeah. So, and so I think probably looking at that, maybe again, as an event to go back and watch one more time, and maybe, like you say, probably better than it came across to us. So, leading into that, though, we go to Raw the next night. I'm watching it on the delay. You're watching it live. And about 6:15, about 15 minutes after the show begins, you send me a text saying the opening statement is awesome. And I pretty much knew the opening statement was something with Daniel Bryan. I didn't know what at that point yet.
Yeah.
It was Daniel Bryan.
Well, actually, the first part of it was John Cena coming out.
Oh, that's right,
And John Cena coming out and talking about, as we talked about, you know, for weeks now, that he needed the surgery. And his time frame was that he was going to be out 4 to 6 months.
Which
is, again, just the kayfabe. So when he's out for 3 months, he's going to seem like a Superman.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Unlike that text scene where he came back at the Royal Rumble that was a worse bit.
Yeah, really.
I mean, he probably did need something. He probably needed to rest his legs or something. But he didn't have the surgery, I don't believe, that they gave him.
He didn't have the surgery, I don't
come back
that
early. I always believe that's going to work.
I always believe that's going to work.
Yeah, the pec surgery. Yeah. Well, and I think that, if he's out
4 months,
again,
come back right at the Royal Rumble.
Which is perfect.
Well, not for me.
But he'll get the pop later in that match. But he'll probably win, and there'll be a guy in a movie theater throwing his popcorn around.
When he won that one.
When he came back from the back there, that was great.
Yeah. He comes out to a huge pop. He's the 30th entrance. Nobody knows he's going to be there. Did a great job out keeping a secret. People went crazy. It was in New York that event that night in Madison Square Garden.
Yeah.
And we're watching it in a movie theater here in Calgary. And beside us, everybody goes crazy. And then it takes about 3 minutes of him being in the ring before people are booing him. Like after this huge cheer. And, you know, at the end is him and Triple H and it's a boo cheer thing. Meant to be for Cena because Triple H was still a heel at the time, but it was you know the booze obviously for Cena. He wins the event and the guy sitting next to us still has popcorn stuff and pop. He just threw it right up in the air. He was so pissed off. And the man they call B was with us. What did he say?
Oh God, he just I forget what did he say. He looked at me like, what's his problem or something? Like, what an
awesome.
Idiot.
It was awesome.
Yeah, it was awesome. But I mean, so Cena's gonna be out, and then so he talks about how Daniel Bryan. He said he's in surgery, but he's not using an excuse. Daniel Bryan was a better man. He lost to the better man. Got a hell of a fight. Blah blah. He was everything he thought he was,
and the
more,
crowd
and,
still
did. And won.
Nothing he could do.
Whoa.
Turn that crowd to like him.
Yeah. Oh, the crowd cheered when he said he's going to be gone 4 to 6 months.
And then look on
that
his
was
face.
Awesome.
It was a look like, what the I have to do? Like, you guys will never give me a break. You will never appreciate me.
No.
No, they
never will.
And they never will. And that's why he needs
to
be
a heel. The Miz, if he's getting booed, Meltzer would say, well, he might as well be a heel. I mean, he's getting booed anyway. He might as well be a heel. And I'm like, well, John Cena's evidence otherwise. Because he's getting booed, and they don't turn him heel. He's a good draw, as he is. But, you know, he might as well go heel.
The
again,
problem
it's not
is
a hard storyline. You guys don't fucking appreciate me.
Well,
lick my balls.
The thing
back.
Is,
I'm, you know, I am turning on all of you.
You know, I am
yeah.
turning on all of you.
They just, it's one of those
it's
things.
It's an opportunity
that,
for Daniel Bryan to prove he can be that guy. Remember, like, there was like,
I don't
want to
get,
Rock,
I don't
get when Austin left, Rock got a chance to be number one guy and prove he could do it.
Yeah.
Until then, there was still the question, oh, can he do it? Because he was number two.
Yeah.
This will be Daniel Bryan's chance, and CM Punk's too, chance to prove, oh, you don't need him to be a babyface. It's time to turn him, because we can do it.
The thing is, and we talked a little bit about this at, not to get too much off topic, we're watching TNA, and we're watching Joseph Park, and he's getting bleeding, and he's being the Abyss thing, and we're like, we've been watching this
over
for
a year
and a half.
They've been the same storyline.
Bleeding.
Haven't pulled the trigger. I'm so bored with it. I'm so done. It was the time.
Well, now they can't
pull the trigger on it.
But now it may
so
be too late to pull the trigger on that.
Waited too long.
Yeah. And the thing is that right now you've got to figure out when is the right time. And I'm not saying it's now. It might be now. But when is the right time to pull the trigger on John Cena? Because, I mean, you can use that. I'm going to be out for 4 to 6 weeks and the crowd going nuts. That's a great sound bite to use in a video package to turn him heel, right, when he turns heel. And there's lots of those along the way that you can find and use and do, but at some point it just becomes redundant to keep doing it to the point where no one's going to care. And that time, I mean, it's not that that time is up, and that time is now. You can't see me in my time. Is now. But, no, I didn't think
I really don't fit. I don't really don't listen to
but
I'm just waiting for my chance.
It's true.
It's true.
Right. Well, next week. But I think that soon, you're going to run out of those opportunities. Within certainly within the next 2 years, it's going to be too late. And it's not going to matter. You know, so you got to figure out when is that. When are you going to have the balls to do this?
A lot of that plays up to, like you say, how Punk and how Orton does as the top heel, how Punk and Bryan here do as the top babyface.
Well, I can tell you how Orton's going to do as the top heel because he's aligned with Triple H and Vince. It's
yeah,
horrible.
It's tough to get excited. And it really, and that was the problem with my show, with me watching it. I'm watching Daniel Bryan as the likable underdog, which is what he is in real life, in the ring with Stephanie McMahon, who in real life is a complete total cunt, being a cunt, so she's not acting.
Yeah.
It's a shoot.
It's a shoot.
And in that segment, it works for that fact that I can believe this, I can believe these people, it's well performed, It's that I sent you a text as I'm watching, and you were ready to watch the last segment. I was just watching the first one, saying, does he come out at the end and jump on Randy Orton and McMahon, and you'll clothesline Helmsley and off of Zamboni, because it is so reminiscent of the storyline we've seen before. And the storyline we've seen many
times. The thing is, the difference, again, I think the difference between it originally and it now, the similarity and the difference between all those others is that there is that
reality base
to it. In that Austin busted his ass, everybody thought he, you know, never draw, blah, blah, go to ECW, becomes the ringmaster, has to do his own thing and fight, and this is this genius McMahon, and yet I got to make my own break around here, and I got Hunter, and I got Sean, and I got, you know, them being jack-offs, and I got to stay down and stay down and stay down, and I finally I'm going to bust through, and I'm the most talented motherfucker you have, and so I'm just going to take the ball, you know, the bull by the horns and do this shit myself.
And that was the reality.
And that played out on TV.
Was everybody really in life, real life, would love to punch their actual boss, and they can't. He gets to do it for them.
Oh, sure.
But again, that thrill is gone.
That's why it took off so mainstream, I guess. And so, and with Daniel Bryan, I mean, as a wrestling fan, a long time. I mean, I'm rooting for Daniel Bryan, so I can get vested.
The most guy I can probably relate to in a long time. You know. That said, it's not just that I saw it here, it's that I saw it when Angle was the GM of SmackDown when he was in a wheelchair against Cena, and I saw it with Cena and Bischoff, and I saw it with, you know,
but
I saw it with Heyman, and
the difference.
I saw it in TNA when it was Raven and Zbysko. I saw it with Booker T and people in WCW. Like, it's not just the,
sure.
If it was just the one time, and it's 15 years ago, that's fine. Wait 15 years. Give me the screw job again in 15 years. Give me the invasion angle again in 15 years. Give me the authority figure angle again in 15 years. But when you repeated them for 15 years constantly, without any break, even if it's well performed, I can go, that's well performed. I can enjoy the moment, but I can't have that excitement of going, I want to show it to people. I'm thinking about it. I can't wait to watch the segment. I can't wait for Raw.
The difference between these two, the Austin and the Bryan instances, between all those other ones is, again, that reality and the fact that Daniel Bryan's been busting his ass, and he is being the guy that Vince and company were like, oh, well, we basically, it's like, holy shit, they hired him, and then it's like, holy shit, he's going to be on NXT, and then they bury, and then
they figured it didn't matter if
shot
we talk shit about him. We'll just use them to get Michael Cole over as a heel, because he's not money anyway.
Yes.
Who cares if we use him to get him over as a heel?
That's
he's
right.
He's not money, so we'll bury him and say he's boring, and an infinite darling, and
that's
stuff.
Right.
We're not shooting ourselves in the foot. All the Ezekiel Jacksons and Mason Ryans and all the guys for years that Vince McMahon saw as being money. And this is the guy who actually is.
Despite it all.
There's something to that.
There is. And it's reality, and it's something that I can get behind. And the fact is, I mean, Daniel Bryan owes a lot to CM Punk in his tirade from a couple of years ago, because it was his tirade on the back of his tirade that had him win the Money in the Bank. Remember, I mean, it was like CM Punk's the WWF champion, and Daniel Bryan won the Money in the Bank. It's like, holy shit. And then, and of course, then they felt that they had to use it and cash it in, and he took that ball and ran with it himself. He was given that opportunity and ran with it, and that's really what propelled him. And, I mean, again, the ironic thing you talked about in that symposium was that WrestleMania seemed to be the darkest day of his career, that 18-second loss.
I think I said the week after it happened, that may be the best thing that ever happened to him.
And it was. And it definitely was. That's the best thing that ever happened to him. He was better with this loss because people rallied and people pushed. And now, though, it's at a point where they got to be careful because it's, and I said this at the SummerSlam post show, is that the next few months are very telling, is because you can only push a guy down for so long until he rallies. So on Raw, he got the shit beat out of him, basically, and kept fighting, but was left laying at the end.
so that was kind of
Duke Shield, but then Roman Reigns come in and speared him at the end, and then but he was fighting, but he didn't win at the end.
Yeah, he lost at the end, which is okay this week. So if he keeps losing every week, then he becomes the guy who just can't win.
How many times did Austin lose, though?
No,
not much. How many times did Hogan lose? Right?
Hogan,
so,
could get beat down and left laying, but he would come back.
Occasionally.
He could be laid out by an earthquake or Bundy or something.
Andre or Bundy.
But
again,
he would win. And the same thing here. He can be laid out once or twice and keep fighting, but if he keeps getting laid out and can never, if the storyline is he can never get over on Triple H, even if it's not a fair shake, then he just becomes that guy who can't get over on Triple H.
I mean, we were watching TNA, and I said, because Hernandez says Super H on the back of his shirt, and he said, well, couldn't say Triple H, and he said, well, it's better than Super Max, and I said, well, no, you can't have personality traits about yourself on your trunks, otherwise Triple H would have the word insecure on the front.
And it's so true, because it's the same way Triple H put the pedigree on, and like we saw when Ziggler cashed in, he cashed in the Money in the Bank on Del Rio. He hit a
Del Rio.
Del Rio kicked out the first time, then got a hit the second time.
Yeah.
When CM Punk all those years ago turned on Jeff Hardy and he cashed in and turned heel,
right?
He came out hit the GTS. He kicked out of the first one. The second one he didn't kick
out. That's right.
Same thing here. He should have had the Triple H, should have hit the pedigree, should have kicked out of the first one, then the RKO, and then he's done. But it's Triple H, and like you say, he's insecure. And that's where I am worried that he's always going to be, like, let's face it.
Yeah.
Vince McMahon didn't get over on Austin very often. I mean, he really had to screw him, but he would still get stunned regularly and beat up and you know, the Dr. Heine and or not Dr. Heine, what was the doctor? Yeah.
Mr. Sacco. All big for Ben McMahon.
The beer bash. There was the Corvette. He was always. Austin was always getting over.
I'll take it from here, nurse.
And then he would find a way to screw him out of that title and be such a prick about it and be so happy about it. Yeah, but you knew it wasn't going to last long. You just knew it was on time until Austin got his revenge on him, and you couldn't wait to see it. And that's what they have to be careful of.
I have never been confident in WWE booking a heel as champion.
No.
They've never done that well.
It's always, Vince has always been about his guy, his Hogan, his Austin, his Rock, his Shawn, his Brett. And,
I wonder who
they've
the
never been able to do the heel.
Heel champion they ever had was. Superstar Billy Graham?
Superstar Billy Graham, yeah.
That's telling.
Yeah, that's 1979? You know? So, I mean, it certainly wasn't Yokozuna. You know, maybe Triple H in terms of dollars in 2000. Because the business had the business was so hot. I mean, they
Hunter? The one drawing.
I shouldn't say. There was a time where Hunter was a really good heel in that 2000. I mean, there was that period. 2000 is probably his. So dollars and cents wise, he probably is. If you were to go apples to apples,
look at the other time, like there was another time he held the belt when Goldberg won it from him. He had it for like 10 months, but he didn't draw very well. I mean, that was the Katie Vick and RVD and Booker T.
2004.
The same thing. JBL was not a good heel champion.
No,
JBL
was Yokozuna, not a good draw, right? Superstar Billy Graham probably is their best draw. But, like, if you were to put it same time dollars or whatever, right?
Which is probably it. Even then, they took the year it belt off him, even though he was doing well, because they wanted it on their good guy. And it's not, and you say it's
that
was thing you've mentioned, Hogan and Shawn and Brett and even Diesel, who had the belt for so long over that year and whatever. But again, he learned it from his dad.
Bob Backlund, Bruno Sammartino, you know, and Hunter even mentioned Vince Senior and Jess, you know, and his promo. Which, by the way,
WWF, It's capital being, yeah, it's sports. Being a trademark.
Yeah.
It's being, yeah, baby face, long term.
Speaking of Triple H's promo, though, Triple H's promo, I hate to do that because we may break live into it because I understand Triple H's finishing segment promo on Raw. Still going on.
A long time. He comes out there.
About
he goes, I guess this is the part where I explain to you
why
I did what I did.
What I did.
And then, yeah.
The thing is, at that point, I thought he was going to say,
exactly,
well, you don't deserve
exactly.
it, and
yeah,
move
and
on. I thought that was
to do it for the next 4 to 6 days.
Saying three, the same three sentences.
Over.
Same three sentences. He likes Daniel Bryan. He didn't
like
want
to
do what he had to do.
He
doesn't like Randy Orton.
Business.
He did it for business. And you and for the fans. And you people have to respect the fans. And over and over. And it's like, oh, my God. But I think that's, I mean, so.
And it's funny looking in the back.
Again, Daniel Bryan, basically the bottom line The bottom line is that Daniel Bryan needs to go over next week.
And he has to get some revenge.
And if he doesn't, it may be over.
Yeah. And again, it's not the same as. They managed to do it back in the day so that he was consistently, like you say, doing the stuff with the, you know, I mean, putting the cement in the car and ruining it. And he was getting over on McMahon and all that shit. And yet at the pay-per-view, he wanted him to. Still win because he had the feeling like he had the odds stacked against him.
He didn't win on the pay-per-view. He lost to Undertaker and Kane. Remember, there was a double pin on him. And then he
going into it, though,
and he had to ref the next match.
It's a good guy like CM Punk beating Lesnar right before SummerSlam. It's like, well, now what am I going to watch? The good guy's already got his revenge. And that was the thing. Was you never, he always had the feeling like as the build to the pay-per-view, even though he was getting over on him, that's why McMahon wanted him so bad, and that's why McMahon would always stack the deck so badly against him at the pay-per-view that he couldn't win.
And the storyline basically was is that Austin would keep humiliating his boss over and over. Austin
316.
But those were all the Raw moments. But
even the last segment leading up to that, you had the feeling, oh, shit, this time he isn't going to win.
And he didn't. That was the thing. Every pay-per-view, you look at it, like Highway to Hell, and then that's really when it started as the big
Highway to
thing.
Hell
and then
face versus
Vince,
face match. After that, that was like the last time
yes.
he had
Then Undertaker turned heel. And then you had Taker and Kane beat, did the double pin on Austin. So they Austin humiliate, loses the pay-per-view. Next one, Austin had to be the ref. And then, so he made him the ref, and of course he said, you know, blah, 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 you're not going to do it. And then he said, well, then that was where it was, Austin, you're fired, when he had the boss man up in the thing on a wheelchair at the very top, because he did the bedpan McMahon and all the whole thing. And then it come to, so he got fired, and then he did the next night on Raw is when he did the Austin 316, or Bang 316, Piss Your Pants. Thing, and then he got reinstated, he got fucked out of the Deadly Games tournament, right? The Rock wins, Austin has to win the Royal Rumble then, wins the Royal Rumble, has to go, so there's all these stories, but none of it is
yeah,
that
like I say, the
Austin
last
is
show, he wouldn't be getting over on McMahon before the pay-per-view.
Austin's not
Superman. Yeah, he wouldn't
Austin's
be getting over on
Superman.
The last show before the pay-per-view, he's setting up, so now he's not going to get his revenge before he, you know, how will he get out of this? Will he get out of this? That's the same thing, we talked before about, right now, at this point in time, today, Daniel Bryan's a sympathetic babyface. We've talked before about sympathetic babyfaces and pathetic babyfaces, and the line, and how easy it is to move over.
And next week is the line.
You become a pathetic babyface, and you don't want to cheer for a pathetic babyface. You want to cheer for a sympathetic one. That's exactly it. They got to be.
And they'll still cheer. If he gets beat down, they'll still cheer for a little while. But the grand scheme, the big picture thing is done.
Absolutely.
But Rod had a lot more. I mean, I think that was the main angle.
The main angle
on Raw. The secondary
was Heyman and Punk again. Heyman's promo, first off.
I had to ask you, though. I'm thinking Punk's promo, and I just want to know up front, did you receive an apology from CM Punk?
Oh, you mean for
him yelling at you?
For him yelling at you on Raw.
That wasn't you?
That wasn't you?
Maybe.
Didn't recognize you without an ice cream bar in your hands.
Where are little bit of the ice cream bar?
Where the fuck are they?
Where the fuck are they?
I wish I could get me one. Mine?
I know.
Okay, anyways, no, came out and cut the promo. I still love you. Come back. I still love you.
We can be the best in the world if you just apologize to me.
Awesome
promo.
That
was awesome.
Just so good. And it's, you know, I watched that, and then tonight we were watching TNA and Bully Ray cutting a promo, and I'm like, Bully Ray talks like Heyman. That's why he's such a good pro.
Yeah, he learned everything from Heyman. Exactly.
He's very Heyman.
Yeah.
A little bit of his own personality, but very Heyman in the way he cuts a promo.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's
the cadence
word used.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I mean, he was that was great. And then CM Punk came out, and like you say, he's insulting me in the front row, and but no, he's all fired up. He's the fired up baby face, right? He's the I'm not going to stop fighting. You think I'm going to stop fighting? You didn't kill me. As long as my heart is beating, I'm going to keep fighting. You know, and then you know, I mean, out comes Heyman, another good promo back and forth. Then the brawl, with Heyman and with Punk and Curtis Axel was great. And I said to you earlier, he can't really go against Curtis Axel because it's kind of a downstep. I watched that brawl, though, and I'm like, fuck, I can't wait to watch that again. Give me that on pay-per-view now. Especially since Punk got the edge here, have in the backstage an attack, have him get the edge and set up the street fight, I'm there. Because he fought him in a way that made him seem like he was on Punk's level. Punk got the better of him this time, but it could have gone either way.
But it was, one of those either ways. It wasn't a dominate. It wasn't a squash fight.
And I think,
I think
Brock Lesnar versus 3MB.
This wasn't Brock Lesnar versus 3MB.
No, that's right.
No, that's right.
Which we need to see more of,
by the way.
But
I think that was great on Ryan. Yeah. And so, again, three great performers again. Brian, Punk, and Heyman. You know, the more they could be on the TV, the better. We had Bray Wyatt on television again.
He was motivated to have a very good match and looked good.
And he did.
Yeah, he did. He was really motivated. The crowd again pops for the entrance, didn't pop for any wrestling yet, but they don't know his moves and whatever yet, right?
No, not yet.
He was motivated to show that that wasn't his best performance. The match that really surprised me was Big Show against The Shield.
Yeah.
I was like, that was a really good match.
Yeah.
I did not expect it. I mean, Big Show
and The Shield. And The Shield were really strong all night. You know, beating Ziggler, beating Big Show, being the McMahon lackeys. You know, they're almost like the
storyline.
Almost like the. No, but they're almost like the Acolyte.
Yeah, I suppose. Here's the thing. All you have to do is say, here's some money, guys. Come back to the ring. Because, I mean, that's why they screwed The Rock and Ryback and stuff, was for money from Heyman. I mean, sure, it seems weak, but it actually fits into them. But I do need that. I do need at least to see that. Like, there's a reason why they're doing it.
The fact is that they started to tease that when Brad Maddox said, you know, kind of said, you got to fight The Shield. You got to fight then, because they both made disparaging Twitter comments about Triple H, whatever, right? So, okay, that's fine. And so that's consistent in The Shield. So you do need, I think, eventually an explanation for it. But I don't need, I don't even know that I need it on Raw, maybe the following one, you know?
For me, as far as I'm concerned, that's fine.
Yeah, that's right. You're right. Yeah, that's fine. The other one, and I don't know who thought this was a good idea from a career perspective, but
Ricardo is back.
Yeah, so Ricardo comes out and announces that and I guess we got to say this, ADR, we talked about how we were talking to each other when we were watching SummerSlam about how different he looked.
Yeah,
and I was saying, that looks like fake makeup. It wasn't.
It turns out, I don't even understand how. I mean, that's a testament to the guys in the schedule that they keep. Is that Alberto Del Rio, the pay-per-view SummerSlam was in Los Angeles, and that was on Sunday. And Saturday night, Alberto Del Rio was at a nightclub in Syracuse.
With
Drew McIntyre
and
flew all the way.
And that would be the British Bulldog.
Well, that would be the British Bulldogs equivalent, is Drew McIntyre.
Well, I don't think it was actually a Syracuse
Scottish guy and the British guy.
For Shawn Michaels being beat up by. I think it was three guys in reality, and they said it was 15. Something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, something. But, and the Bulldog was too hammered to get in the back of the car.
But he got into a real fight at like 4 in the morning, as did McIntyre. They lost.
Yeah, with, I guess what happened was the guy made a comment about the chick.
Yeah.
Drew McIntyre was with, and then it escalated from there. But
what are you doing at 4 in the morning,
man,
out the night before some party? But whatever. Drew McIntyre was
whatever.
On.
You heard whatever. You heard some of those stories
true, yeah.
that Piper told. So, I mean, it's, yeah, the boys are the boys. I mean,
no, I mean, Drew McIntyre was on.
No, I mean, Drew McIntyre was on.
Crack? On SmackDown. Where is, I saw him somewhere after that. I thought I did, and he
no,
looked okay.
He probably did, but I don't think he's been on TV since.
Maybe
he's only been Raw.
Maybe it was actually SmackDown the week before. I'm pretty sure. I thought.
Okay, it was been before. No, I don't think they did. Did they?
Didn't Ginger and yeah, they lost the news. The prime time play. No, that was the Real American. Well, the Usos. They lost the Usos.
Real American.
And he was.
They did. That's right. That's what
it
was.
But he looked fine.
Oh, yeah, how'd
I
forget?
Yeah, he
I was going to mention
but he wasn't
that.
In the
yeah,
match.
So.
He looked fine. Whereas Del Rio looked like shit. But
yeah.
Anyway, the point being that he's gone on with Christian. We haven't seen, we didn't see Christian this week, which is fine. I mean, for me, the
nope.
role of Christian
nope.
I'll get to in a minute, in my opinion. But,
yeah.
but we didn't see Christian.
Yeah.
Del Rio cuts the promo again, this time much more obvious that he's talking down to him. You need a hero
yeah.
like me because you're peasant, you know, to the Mexican people. Much more obvious than
yeah.
the kind of more subtle one that people cheered at SummerSlam
yes,
promo.
Yes, well, they're in.
And this is after Sin Cara
yeah,
and
the
match that Rose dislocated a finger.
Oh, that's on my notes here. Sin Cara is
a pussy. He did a dive outside the ring, dislocates a finger, calls to the ref that match is over. He's sitting there, they're popping it back in the ring for him, which most people would work through. But
yeah.
still, they're popping it back in. It is painful. And Del Rio's fucking attacking him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, Del Rio was pissed.
He actually dropped the F-bomb loud on TV there.
Yeah, yes.
Yeah. Told him to get the fuck out of the ring if he doesn't want to wrestle.
Yeah, so I think there's about 6 months left on Sin Cara's contract.
I'm sure they can't wait to get out of it. Of course, then again, when he did it, my first thought was he's trying to get fired so he can get out of it.
Yeah, there is that too. Well, why would you want to get? I mean, he makes good money. He's got to make good money. He's going to make better money than I. But he was Mystico though. He was Mystico, so he probably could go back and make really good money too. But he's going to make really good. I mean, yeah. You just to me,
that's exactly what I thought when I looked at
it.
I mean, like, he looked at me like he didn't want to do the job again, so he's trying and he's trying to get fired. Like that's what how it came across to me. Like he was going to do another quick job and he didn't want to. And so, anyways,
we'll see.
Not Bruiser Brody.
So anyway, Ricardo comes up.
And he says he's got a champion for the people, for him, and that champion is not ADR. And I'm like, Rey Mysterio.
Yeah,
Rey Mysterio.
Yeah, yeah.
Got it.
That's what I was thinking, too. Yeah. No. And so I guess they don't really like Ricardo. And they want to see, they're basically kind of, this is a way of getting Ricardo released, I guess.
Oh, you mean because he's going to be riding with RVD?
He's going to ride with Rob Van Dam.
Who in their human resources department thought that was a good idea?
Throw in Jack Swagger.
Throw in Jack Swagger, why don't you?
And R-Truth.
In Truth.
In Truth.
Yeah. Anyways, yeah, RVD versus Del Rio's next.
RVD versus
Del Rio.
Okay, that's that. I like that. That's fine.
That's fine.
That's good. I like it. It's fine. I don't know about Ricardo and RVD. I mean,
if Ray is ever coming
right?
back, he just hold off and wait for
that.
That
would have been mine.
Yeah.
That would have been mine. Yeah, exactly.
Of course, unless he goes with RVD, and when RVD doesn't get the belt, then he goes with whatever, but...
Yeah, if he just says I'm going to find
Cody,
I'm going to find someone.
Damien Sandow again, just to get over the fact that... He's a baby face, I think.
Well, then he says, I'm the number
yeah,
one contender or whatever it is. Yeah, yeah. But then who does Cody lose to on SmackDown again? It was Curtis Axel.
Axel
hiring Cody in the pecking order right now, which makes sense because it's been Punk, right? So, but it's just
Ryback did another great bullying segment. I like this stuff. I know not everybody is on work with everybody. For me, it works.
Who is this not working?
Jamie.
Who is this not working for?
Our friend Steven and Jamie is saying that he doesn't like this bullying thing.
I'd like to find out why, because I think this is great. I think it's a new character. This isn't a mid-card character, or this isn't a main event character, rather. It's an upper mid-card character, but that's where Ryback should be right now. I mean, why not? He's Bully Rye.
He's Bully Rye. Nice. I like it.
Bully Rye.
No, it's
do you know who he is?
When he's doing this, he feels naturally like this is him. Like, this feels like him.
Yeah.
Unlike the guy who's cutting the promo with the cadence and really practice. Really.
Well, and the whole, like, Terminator robot.
Doesn't feel like him.
The
way he cut his promos, the practice, the big words. But this just bullying a guy in the locker room, feels to me like something he did in high school. It works. It'll get good heel heat. And I think the angle is you just have him do it a couple more weeks, and then you have him come out there and do it in the ring with somebody. And you have or you have Christian in the ring beat somebody, call him out and say, you know, you love to bully. It's true. Why not? You're bigger than me. You're younger than me. You're stronger than me. So why don't you come in the ring and try and bully me?
Mm-hmm.
And he gets to the ring and then backs out.
And
that sets up the match. Simple booking. People want to see it, right?
It is simple.
Christian puts him over. And has a good match with him.
Shouldn't his next, by that logic, though, shouldn't his next support have been Shamrock?
I don't like bullies.
Yeah. All those years
Fuck,
ago.
That was oral.
But no, I mean, it's so easy, and it works.
It does work, and it's like you said, the fact is that it, because it's simple, is the reason to do it, right? Especially you said upper mid card, you don't have to put all the bells and whistles on this.
And people
will
get behind a guy like Christian, who is legitimately smaller, but will stand up to him and believe it, and be like, oh, maybe Christian will win, even though he won't. So it works in a lot of levels. Primetime Players came out on Monday.
Darren Young.
Well, Darren Young.
The week before. Primetime Players came out as babyfaces.
Babyfaces.
Got a babyface, good babyface reaction. Darren Young actually coming out.
Darren Young.
They wrestled like babyfaces. The crowd reacted to them like babyfaces. I think you and I have been saying from...
Well, there was a mention, I guess, at the end.
With this finisher, right?
Butt
check.
Oh,
I think
it was,
sorry.
The butt check.
I missed the butt check.
Oh, fuck.
Well, that's the general idea. I purposely didn't tell you that one.
Earlier. I purposely didn't tell you that one earlier.
Because you knew. I can call you Addy.
What I thought, we said they should be baby faces. What?
I think we said the first time they came out, they should be baby faces. As soon as they got rid of Abraham.
When they were doing the stuff back
then. As soon as they got rid of Abraham Washington, they should have been baby faces.
Even before. Even before
that,
I had said these guys. Right, yes. When they first come out and started doing their backstage thing, as they do, they remind me of the New Age Outlaws. And then, so at their heels, but they'll turn babyface. And the thing was, where I thought they were going, and they stopped dead, probably about three quarters of the way through. They couldn't even get to it, but with Zeb Coulter. And how these were real Americans. And they stand up for good American beliefs. And I thought, and that's literally what I thought, was the Primetime Players were coming out next, and that, like, that was it, is that he was, you know, he doesn't like immigrants now, he doesn't like
it would make sense
Again, I don't want to see them go in there because I don't think they'd be able to do it right. I'm not the sense that
he went about as far as I think they're going to let him go. Like, he did that to the point where I thought, oh, so what is he going to start going on Darren Young now? And then they, boom, they come out, right?
He says it really well. He says his delivery is great, his lines are great, his performance is great, whatever. But it's the same thing over and over and over and over.
It is. This one is a little bit different, though, as I said. He didn't use the word sneaking.
No, that's true.
No, no.
But, yeah.
Darren Young beat
heel teams. They should turn.
Yeah.
Even before all this happened, we were talking about them. It's always been a babyface.
Well, and hey, that and what stuck out. One of the things that stuck out to me on Raw, and this is one of those things that I said.
Commentary where like you got to turn babyface.
Yes, he has the wash rag.
Yes, he has the wash rag. Yeah, and the thing was when I looked at it with 3 hours. One thing that stuck out to me 3 hours. Of Raw is something that I've been saying for a while, but they really utilized it. Was it that tag team action hot and heavy here in the WWF? Is it you had the Usos against the 3MB? You had the primetime players against the Real Americans, and then you had the Shield out a couple of times.
And it will be the Shield versus Big
None of it.
For a little while.
And Henry, they did say that too, right? But I mean, you had those two tag team matches.
No, those weren't even for titles. And this is what we always said. The good thing about tag teams is it gets more people on TV and gives you a chance to establish them so more people are seen as fun.
For a guy like a Titus O'Neil, that, in my opinion, can be a future star. If he doesn't get hurt, he'll be a future single star.
Which is funny, because right now, after all this, definitely the guy they're seeing as the star is Darren Young.
Well, that's...
For now, for reasons.
Well, again, that's he had babyface fire.
Oh, he did. Oh, he had fire from the.
He knew why they were getting cheered.
And he come out there like a house of fire. And to Titus O'Neil's credit, he let Darren Young take the stage. You know what I mean? He didn't overshadow him or try to, you know, do that. So.
He was not Hulk Hogan.
No, that's right.
Both guys got a chance. But I think Titus O'Neil for
only
sure.
Only thing against Titus O'Neil is he's only quite old.
That's the only thing they do.
Other than that, he's got it all.
But Darren Young is Black Cena. So you got that going against it too. You look identical to this other, to the top guy in the company. So it is. So. It's that part's strange. I just think
that really did stand out
to me. And again, and Darren Young beats Antonio Cesaro on SmackDown. So in a singles match. So they are giving him that short term.
I don't know if you have anything else you want to say about Raw. I think that pretty much covers it. And I don't know, not much happens on SmackDown, a little more with Daniel Bryan and Orton and that type of thing. Orton actually, I do believe, gets over on Daniel Bryan with an RKO at the end to go off the air on SmackDown. Do we talk about
Daniel Bryan hits an RKO?
Daniel Bryan hits an RKO
on Daniel Bryan, I believe. Yeah, I believe that's the last
on
thing
SmackDown.
Off the air. We talk about how
you
can't do this for too long before he goes pathetic.
I think you get one week, though.
You get one week, and then the next.
It's
Raw.
But different people watch
SmackDown than watch Raw.
Like 20 million unique viewers.
WWE programming every week.
Well, there is one more thing.
Because
that's exactly where it's going to go. We got, what is it, email or Twitter?
Hot and heavy. No, on Raw.
Arriba.
Los
fucking
Matadores.
Great video. And again, another team. I couldn't tell from that video if they were babyface.
Yeah, that's
the deal.
They got a bunch
of babyfaces.
I think they're.
Would you have heel bullfighters?
You could, but I think they're babyfaces.
And again, it comes down to a great video.
I love it when they do this. And of course, you say it's primo and epic. I'm happy to see this also because
they're great workers.
One of the best workers in the WWE, and really good at the tag team. Fresh start for them. They got mask on. It also helps that as a guy like Sin Cara failed, and a guy like Del Rio is the heel, they're looking for that Mexican team to. I know they're not Mexican.
Puerto Rican.
But what they're,
Latino.
They're going to be presented as Mexican.
Yeah.
And nobody will know any better if they don't know. So, I mean, it fills that void that they're trying to fill.
I understand their first match.
Going to be a handicap match against Mantar.
It's going to be a good one.
Catch-as-catch-can classic.
But I don't know.
I thought it was going to be... They're apparently going to have a manager.
The Bull of the Woods.
The Bull of the Woods, if you will.
Maybe. That's true. Maybe.
Be the tag team.
Dusty and Mantar.
Dusty's still the better worker.
Dusty today
is a better worker than Mantar would have been back then.
Dusty's a better worker than most guys.
Dusty's a better worker than most guys are right now. But I think
they're
that...
They're apparently going to have a manager.
I forget I heard his name, but I didn't.
Rosamendez.
Is not part of the act, no. I forget who it is. It's a male manager that they're going to have anyway.
That's good, though. That would give us their third manager.
Something
else. We've been talking about it.
Is it only three?
Only three, but that's still a lot.
I don't think Ricardo's a manager.
He's a ring announcer. He's not a manager. Because he doesn't do the talking for the guys. Except for the entrance, right?
You don't think he's going to do RPD's talking?
I don't know.
So Zeb and Zeb Coulter. Heyman, that's it, yeah. So... That's right, yeah. So, and you got, you've got some seconds, some, you know, stuff like that. So, with the Summer Rays and whatnot. And,
yeah, and we are getting the Miz versus. Oh, that was something else I want to bring up.
Oh, Yon Roth?
I think it was Miz versus Wade Barrett.
Yes, you did.
You had all this fucking buildup on SummerSlam between Miz and Fandango to lead to Miz against Wade Barrett.
Fandango laid him out at the end. But here's my problem with this. So. During this match, I'm watching the match, and Jerry the King Lawler says, do you think he gets good reception with those satellites on his head? He's talking about Wade Barrett's ears.
I have never noticed Wade Barrett's ears.
Ever.
Now Jerry Lawler pointed out,
and it's all I can see for the rest of the match. And now every time I see him, I'm going to look at the size of his ears. And I never would have noticed. And this is one of those things where you say because you think it's funny, or you say it because you think other people have noticed it. It's not necessarily. This isn't the type of thing that's good to point out for anybody.
Accentuate the positive.
Well, you know,
and hide the weakness.
When Vince used to say that Hunter Hearst Helmsley had a huge nose.
Yes, a prominent proboscis. It worked. Yes.
To just say, point out this guy's got huge ears, and now I can't see anything but, and I never noticed before, is not good for him. Jerry Lawler's a fucking idiot.
Jerry Lawler's a fucking idiot sometimes. Really, just sometimes.
A lot of the time. This is a good example. My problem with the segment is
that it was Miz and Fandango. That was my problem with it, but.
You know what, actually,
I don't really have much of a problem with it if you're just going to... Honestly, if it's going to be a cocksucker motherfucker against a dancing motherfucker, then just put him in the opening match or whatever, second from the top. Just let him fight and fine. They're not fucking up two matches. You know, that's the benefit there. But...
I'm trying to think of the Money in the Bank pay-per-view buy rate come in.
192,000 buys. 146,000 domestic.
46,000
international. 46,000 international. I don't know, are the UK still getting Do they only have to pay for every second pay-per-view
or something like that they pay for?
This could have been a free one.
Either way, it doesn't matter. It's not that much. And there was a point where we were seeing the domestic and the international at about a 50-50 pace. So if it was 190,000 buys, it would be like 95,000 each. Or like 110 and 80.
Yeah.
And this is a good buy rate, 142. If they had had a decent international buy rate for 148 or whatever.
If they 140, if they'd had 100,000, they'd be at
really
246. That'd be good.
I mean, even
really good, actually, for what they've been doing, right?
Many of their B pay-per-views.
Many of their
It is, and it's money in the bank, though.
I suppose, like you said.
I mean, are we calling that a B, or are we calling that, like, a B plus, right? So, like, that almost is their new Survivor Series we're talking about, right? So, it's a solid number.
It's not spectacular. If they had had the international, then that just proves how they're not hot internationally. And I don't know what you do for that. I don't know if it's a lack of international stars. And there's no Japanese star on there, but I'm not sure how much that buys it. I don't know if there's anybody who's really over in many parts of Europe. I mean, maybe a few of the UK wrestlers might be over in the UK or in Ireland. Sheamus might be in Ireland.
Sheamus, I don't know if he's carrying them.
Not like back in the day when you'd have certain wrestlers who were huge in Spain or huge in Germany and were carrying it there. And so I don't see that guy who's doing that for them. I don't know that it's a matter of bringing in somebody from that country. I mean, Bret Hart wasn't from Spain or Germany, and yet he was huge there, right?
Yeah, and he had British Bulldog, right? From British, yeah. So part of it, though, too, is that WWF was at a different time. WWF was so hot in the 80s, didn't go to Europe very often, and then they realized that they could, and so they started to go over there more. As technology and flights and costs become available, they started going over more in the 90s, and so it just become this really cool thing in Europe that they could go over and do twice a year, once a year.
Pay-per-view buys you get in Japan. I mean, when we talk about international, I think we're mainly talking about Europe. We're not talking about South America. I don't think Brazil ever had a lot of buys. Australia, theoretically, should. There's no reason why Australia shouldn't be a strong market.
No,
I don't believe they are.
No, that's right.
I don't know.
Obviously, 46,000 international tells me that, for at least for Money in the Bank, no one was really a strong market.
What was it for WrestleMania?
Right?
It was a very strong North American buy there.
But
less than what they had historically done.
Mm-hmm.
Stronger domestic.
That's right. I don't know.
So this is not just Money in the Bank.
This is not just.
It's probably the trend.
I don't know how they reverse that.
Well,
do they need to?
I think you just try and put on a good product, and if it catches fire here, it probably gains a little momentum elsewhere.
It probably will elsewhere. Yeah.
You had a question.
We kind of talked about the tag team match, hot and heavy.
Over there on your notepad. I don't remember who. Over there on your notepad, it was sent to me, a DM sent to me.
Over there.
I can't recall from who, but somebody was asking us about our favorite tag team finishing move. So, I mean, when you look back, and I was trying to think of if there was any right now.
I know we were talking about who does a tag team finishing combination maneuver, and I think the last one, I mean, I think I saw Roman Reigns hold Kane or something while Rollins delivered the knee.
Does Bad Influence in TNA have a taunt and a move?
Maybe.
Probably.
When was the last time they won a match? It's just gone away. It used to be something that was, obviously in the 80s.
When we talk about our favorite tag team finishers, most of them are going to come from the 80s.
That's where it was, right?
I mean, I love the Demolition Decapitator.
It's just a guy coming off the second rope with an elbow, not exactly a backbreaker knee. It's not as cool as some of the other ones. The Doomsday Device was really cool.
Russo
Brothers had great finishers.
They had great finishers.
Like I said, the Doomsday Device looked really, really cool.
The Russos are the ones that stand out.
The British Bulldogs usually would use Dynamite Kid being pressed by Davey Boy into a headbutt. Occasionally they would use, though, a power slam off the top rope. That looked great.
Usually it was
Davey Boy Smith doing the running power slam, and then Dynamite coming off slingshotted headbutt.
Obviously the heart attack looked great.
Yeah, I mean,
it's
again, I look back and I like here's okay. The Rockers, when they got to the WWE, double fist drive.
Punch, yeah.
When they were in AWA and they were wrestling a lot of smaller teams, they couldn't do this so much when they got to the WWE. They did a Rockerplex, it was called, where it was, I believe it Marty Jannetty actually lifted
Marty
up the guy,
Jannetty,
I think.
Yeah.
And for a,
yeah.
a suplex, and then Michaels would come off the top rope into like a
cross body.
Cross body suplex. That was one of my all time favorite tag team maneuvers, tag team finishing moves.
I think Power and Glory did a similar move.
Yeah. They kind of took
yeah.
that. But that was, when the Rockers did it, I thought that was, that's up there as my all-time favorite. Yeah, when you really look at it, I mean, it's like, even in the 90s, even the Attitude Era, outside of 3D, I have trouble thinking of tag team maneuvers. And it's something that's missing.
The Dudley Boys had.
The Usos. Like the Usos, you know, maybe they'll do a double splash. Usually they'll just do one guy splashing. You know? It's something that's missing.
Yeah, it's usually just one. It is, because, I mean, we talked about how tag team action hot and heavy. I mean, the Demolition Decapitator was used by the prime title players at first, but, I mean, like you said, he won with the gut check move there on Raw. And so there's been, and again, the Real Americans don't have one that we know of.
You got to say we watched NXT, speaking of Real Americans. And we watched Sami Zayn. And Antonio Cesaro, and they blow off to their feud, a two out of three fall match that was simply amazing.
Great stuff. And nothing outside the WWE style.
No, a couple innovative moves that you don't usually see, but not outside.
But
good Lord, was this awesome. Both of them looked great. Cesaro, such an impressive physical specimen, and Zayn bent over and just go out of your way.
We were looking at
the two out of three falls match between these two that happened on NXT. Go out of your way to see it. It's awesome.
We're looking at the next crop of guys ready to come up. And I guess the Wyatt family's just come up. And the Shield, relatively, I mean, it's less than a year, have just come up. I think it's going to be a while. I mean, especially if you get some Primo and Epico that you're repackaging there, and you're just I think now is the time to focus on the guys you have. I don't necessarily think you need to
bring
up anybody.
You could, but not
for a while, because I think you're going to bring the Matadors up, right? So now, or bring them up, but you're going to debut the Matadors. So you're going to have to wait a while for, and unfortunately, the way that they work is that come January, everything's Mania bound. So you're not going to debut a new team. So you would have to debut them in, October? And the worst part about debuting them in October is that they're going to get then buried in the shuffle, lost in the shuffle of that Mania build. So it almost is better to keep, especially now that you've added Rick Victor, taken out Kenneth Cameron, now you put in Rick Victor.
I don't know. I say leave him
down there until April.
Then it's going to be a focus. There's no reason it can't be. There's no reason there can't be three tag team matches at WrestleMania.
Well, there is.
It's because they won't.
Well, historically, they won't, but they are shifting in their thinking obviously a little bit.
I don't think they're shifting that.
Probably not, but
for fall.
I mean,
I understand what you're saying. You could do it. I don't know. I'm not so high on this new team as much as I am on the old team either. The Ascension. The act is good. Rick Victor needs some work with his tights and the look. I mean, he's got the look, but he just doesn't have the full on. He doesn't have the same look. He doesn't have the Ascension look yet. Yeah. So they need to figure that out before they bring him up. And I think that's going
to
mean April.
The guy is down there. You're like, okay, that's the guy who needs to come up now. He's awesome.
Who is the fellow that was teaming with Adrian Neville that got hurt? That was the NXT tag champions.
Quickly forget.
They were developing some good chemistry as a tag team. They had a name and everything. I forget what it was.
Hawk or Adrian Neville is another guy people look at and think he's ready to come up. Dallas had a cup of coffee at the Royal Rumble. I think he's, like I said, I think as soon as you turn him heel,
Right now he's on top of NXT, but still babyface. I think when you turn on the heel, I think he has a chance.
I don't think he is a babyface, really.
They just boo him. He's John Cena.
I don't know. I saw one of his things, and I don't think he can...
He took on Leo Kruger last week. Trust me, he's the babyface. Leo Kruger with the heel.
Leo Kruger's going to have to come up.
He's an interesting style.
He's
an interesting style.
But see, Kruger's been working as a baby face. For like a month now.
I don't know about that. No, I wouldn't say that.
And I don't really like Kruger myself. I've never really seen anything in Kruger, so...
Well, I mean, that's it. I don't see a lot of guys right now that are looking like they're the next guys. They kind of brought up the guys who are obvious.
Well, you got Chris Hero.
Cosmetically, we really want you to be clean, but we really want you to look great. And he can't do both. Because he doesn't have good genes. He doesn't have good genetics.
No.
I don't know where I'll ever see him, which is too bad, because his greatest star is, you know, I've always said, I think he's even a little better. But I don't know.
Yeah. That's true. But I mean, who knows? But I mean, Sami Zayn again. You're gonna have to see. He's gonna be, you know, one of those
guys. He's the obvious guy. I watched him tonight. I'm like, if they had had that match on Raw, I mean, it wouldn't have started good, but it would have finished the crowd going crazy.
I think it would have started. That was a great part of the match.
They got the crowd reaction much at the beginning.
Oh, yeah.
The crowd was
going
crazy by the end. The same thing would happen on Raw. They have that match in front of, you know, 12,000 people. 12,000 people will be on their seat by the end.
Sami Zayn has that same thing where
his personality and wrestling style, and people can recognize he's good. He has that same intangible that Daniel Bryan has.
No, he does. And actually, I think Chris Hero does too. But
he's not quite as, like I say, he's not quite as, he's a different style. He's not as flashy.
No, that's true.
I mean, I think he's very good, but I don't think they think so.
He's got a great promo.
Interesting promo. And, you know, interesting personality. Working better as a heel. But they got a... Yeah, it's really... They took him off NXT because he doesn't look... His body doesn't look good enough. But like I said, be clean, be clean. Oh, no, don't take anything. We test you. Don't take it. You got to look good.
Don't take him. So what do you think about The Rock? Looks like the WWE is under the assumption that The Rock isn't going to be back next year as kind of the regular character he's been the past 3 years. I guess this is according to information that was talked to a major licensee. They've a deal where they're told who to promote and have license to produce and such, and they were told not to produce any merchandise involving The Rock. He could be used as far as a group shot, but not to produce anything specific for him, and he was not going to be featured until 2015. So this is taken as a sign that he's not doing Mania this year.
Tell you the truth, if he took a year off and wasn't around for 15 months and then came back, he'd be a bigger star. It would mean more.
And
people were a little... I think they're ready for a break from The Rock character. I don't think it's a bad thing.
I think The Rock's kind of saturated. WWE and Bill Goldberg are now in talks.
I don't know.
I'm talking about him doing next year's WrestleMania.
In the Hall of Fame?
I don't know. Maybe.
But possibly against Ryback.
Ryback?
Ryback and Goldberg at WrestleMania.
The man they call B will be salivating.
Can't I get Goldberg against Lesnar again? Please?
No. Only if Austin can wrap it.
New York?
Interesting. But,
I would put Goldberg against, like you say, for me, Goldberg Undertaker. But Goldberg Ryback's good, too.
But there's another guy across the Hall of Fame.
One of the things that we're seeing here is Triple H.
How much of that do you think? Because they're in talks right now. And how much do you think of that promo on Raw was a shoot?
You take out Randy Orton's name.
You take out Randy Orton's name and you put in Bill Goldberg's name.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't even like the guy. But I'm doing it for you.
Yeah, well, that's
I'm doing
exactly
it for
it. I mean,
business.
I think it's always been a question. Well, we've seen that with Vince.
Of course.
We've seen that with Vince many,
course,
many times,
yeah,
over the years. Hey, I don't like this guy. I don't want to do business with him. But it's going to make me money. I'll do it anyway. And he's done it. And that's why he brought back a Hogan. That's why he brought back, you know, a lot of people over
mm-hmm.
the years, you know. Bret Hart and these different guys.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
So, I think the question has been, will that be Triple H? Will Triple H carry more of a grudge? We're seeing them.
Yeah.
Triple H.
He's under the learning tree, right?
He's under the learning tree, right? I mean,
you
can see it.
That is a good sign.
That is a good sign. That is a good sign. It could be a good sign. How much of it is that he gets it? How much of it that he's just trying to play nice to Dad, you know? And he's just doing it because he knows that that's what Dad wants him to do. But either way, it's happening. And the Warrior was, did you see the picture of the Warrior was actually, we talked about that symposium, Warrior was at that same event there promoting the video game, and he actually met with Vince McMahon at one point. So that is interesting.
I guess Ric Flair. Says that he doesn't understand why they were so upset. Basically,
yes.
You know, the WWE is really upset, and it's just.
Well, he understood that the fact was that he went off and
he
told
told
stories.
To entertain. He doesn't understand what he did wrong. I was told to be entertaining.
Yeah.
I guess I went off and went stories. They wanted to focus on the game, and I just went out there to entertain and tell stories. But I don't.
Yeah.
It's too bad that they are upset with me. I mean, the company, the video game company, isn't. They are, and it's too bad. And I don't really understand why.
I guess he was supposed to be on SummerSlam.
Got pulled. Yeah.
And got pulled.
And if you don't get it, you're.
Well,
because
he was hammered.
It's one thing to tell stories. If you tell a story, if it comes to you, it's another thing to not let JR talk, not let anybody else talk, not
yeah.
take cues. Not just you're a fucking idiot. No, he is an idiot.
Yeah.
God, he's a
yeah.
lovable
yeah.
idiot.
Right?
But he's an idiot.
He's an idiot, right?
Yes. Right.
Because he did that, right?
Yeah, right.
He was coming, right? It's on the champion, right?
Yeah.
Harley's there, right?
Oh, fuck.
So the original plan, we talked about for Mania being Hunter going heel, Vince going babyface and choosing a star from the past to represent him against Triple H.
Oh, Triple H has to wrestle again? He can't pick somebody, too?
Yeah.
Can't they just both pick somebody?
No.
Like Trump?
Yeah.
Yeah,
I mean,
that drew well.
That's the thing. Yeah, well, who did it?
Highest grossing ever.
Gee, I wonder.
And
it was Umaga and Bobby Lashley. Yeah. I mean,
because Austin was talked,
Austin was talked in Variety.
Did his name right?
Yeah.
Trump?
Bobby Lindsay, yes. What did Austin say? If you had a cow and you give him a brand and you have a branding iron and it was a fire and you put branding iron to the cow, you leave your mark and that mark is there forever. It can't be released. That's why they brand cows. So if wrestling was a cow, I branded it and that mark will never go away. In another 10 years, another 20 years, that mark I left on the business will always be there. I'm very happy about that. What I accomplished, had a great time doing it, but he didn't want to come back.
That's too bad, because it wouldn't hurt us. It wouldn't hurt the mark he made.
It wouldn't hurt the mark,
especially since
no, exactly.
So,
hey,
yeah, there you go.
But so again, that the word we got, they may be changing the main event direction. Could be a sign that Austin doesn't want to do it. And again, if he was going to, he's not going to be tipping his hand on it now. So they'd have to offer him more money. You know, Cena could be the company defender. You know,
Undertaker's on that.
Could be anybody.
Apparently, to take on Triple H. Holy fuck. Rock, but they don't think he can get him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, they won't get him. No, they won't get Rock. So.
And that
yeah,
could be,
or,
and they won't
but
Goldberg. Yeah.
And they won't do Goldberg. I mean, that's
Warrior.
So
wow, fuck.
Yeah.
Warrior would be great.
Warrior would be great.
Finished Warrior.
Finished Warrior.
Oh yeah.
Because
yeah.
I want a kick out of it.
Yeah.
So it's either San Jose or
Philadelphia for WrestleMania 31. And Detroit, apparently, for WrestleMania 32 at this point.
Not 33, no, I know.
Not 33, no, I know. That would have made the most sense, because then you could add Shane out there to say, welcome to WrestleMania 33.
Except for Stephanie wouldn't let that.
Oh,
he wouldn't let that.
Oh, right. Yeah. That's yeah. right. Yeah. I'm just trying to think of if there's any other news that I could written down. They're going to. Oh, yeah, that's right. They were going to have Mascarita Dorada, who's a midget.
Mexican Mini.
Mexican Mini. That's who's going to be with Los Matadores.
As their manager?
As their manager.
As their manager, mascot, okay. Whatever, yeah.
Babyface then.
So.
Babyface then. Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, exactly.
What was his name again?
His name still is.
Mascarita Dorada.
Never trust a Mascarita Dorada.
Never.
You never know where he's been.
Wait, is that because he's a midget or Mexican?
Mexican?
Oh, shit.
I'm sorry. I know the answers.
Oh, my God. My God.
Addy. Call me Addy.
Oh, I'm sweating worse than ever after that line.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Sweating in your...
We talked about Brooke Hogan already. I'm just trying to see if there's any... The X Division.
No more fucking three-way.
No more fucking
three-way. They don't have enough people on the roster.
They don't have
three-way.
Oh, I know. That's a three-way.
No, I know. That's the thing.
Hulk Hogan, as long as he's off TV and not getting paid, that's good for them. We've mentioned that before. Because he's very expensive for appearance.
Speaking of midgets.
Cav?
Somebody named... Eric the Midget.
Eric the Midget from the Howard Stern Show. Yeah.
Eric
the actor, Eric the Midget from the Howard Stern Show. Bobby Roode's having some feud with him in it because Howard Stern's playing into it because he said he wants to kick the shit out of this wheelchair-bound midget. And Howard Stern thinks that's hilarious. So something will happen at Bound for Glory. AJ Styles' contract apparently close to being up.
Yeah, I guess. A
couple
months.
Ken Anderson
and
Devon.
Well, Devon.
It looks like
Devon
may actually be gone.
Well,
he's gone now.
Yeah, we thought he was going to take the agent spot.
Yeah,
left over,
he is
he might
apparently
just,
available for
he's
independent
on.
Booking. AJ is really highly paid. But AJ, he's their Bret Hart, isn't he? Can they let him go? You can't let AJ.
Well, here's the thing:
AJ
is
AJ will AJ take a pay cut?
The new head of talent relations
is
Big John, right?
Who the hell?
So that's
cool. Big John McCarthy.
Yes.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Are you ready?
Are you ready? Let's get it on.
No, not him.
But
Big
John Gaburik or something? He was on Tough Enough. Was a sort of sympathetic Vader-looking guy on Tough Enough. The original Tough Enough. Anyway, he's the head of talent relations.
Over for Pritchard.
Of TNA. For Pritchard. So that's quite the transition. And it's quite the difference in terms of his mandate has been, you know, cost. So, and he's a new guy coming in. He has no relationship with AJ Styles. He has no relationship with any of these guys. Maybe like some of the old WWF guys a little bit. But the feeling is that he can kind of, I don't want to call it cold, but he can just come in and make these deals or offer these things and have no, emotional attachment to it.
Dixie Carter, the moron.
Dixie Carter.
Has an emotional attachment to AJ. So I think that's why I bet he's still going to be there. But he might take a little pay.
Weren't they sleeping together at one point?
Oh, that was Claire Lynch.
Remember when Serge for real life punched AJ 5 mile and AJ flew anyway,
and he had to sell it.
Oh, terrible. TNA. That's the other question I got outside of hiring Vince Russo, what are some of the worst mistakes you guys think have happened in the history of TNA? What else pops into your mind?
Hiring Hogan and Bischoff?
What did Hogan and Bischoff bring to the table? I mean, it absolutely seemed like a great idea at the time. It did. Evan Hulk Hogan at the notoriety, but you and even when you
it seemed
probably
like a great,
last summer though,
great idea at the time. but we always knew it would probably turn out bad. It's like, if this turns out for them, it's going to be worth it, but odds of that are 1 in 5.
But it looked like when Hogan was starting to put over Austin Aries last summer, and they had that stuff going, it looked like they were using their powers for good rather than evil. In that you had them for the mainstream, for the Spike TVs, and for the whoever notoriety. But then your show was actually starting to produce. So you had these, you could use them as their advertising catapult, yet wrestling fans could watch them too. And because that's what Nitro was about. We have these stars, yet the wrestling fans wanted to watch the everybody else. You know, but the casuals and the such knew the stars. So they had that a little to a certain degree, but it just, then it just kind of flies off the rails, and there was no, it's the story of TNA. It's the story of every wrestling company except for the WWE, where the WWE has Vince McMahon, and the buck stops at Vince McMahon. And everybody knows it's Vince McMahon's company, and he's the end-all, be-all of WWE, whereas no other wrestling company ever had that. And there's always been political machinations and turmoil and everything that has caused, ultimately, the other company's downfall. And we're finding that in TNA right now. We're finding that in Ring of Honor to a certain degree right now. It's not. There's no stability, right? Even the UFC.
Yeah,
it's a prestige in danger. That's it. You know. Yeah, and that's it. And so there really is.
TNA's got to satisfy.
That happening. So
they got to satisfy Dixie. They got to satisfy Hogan.
Yeah.
They got to satisfy. You know.
But I think that Hogan's contract again up in October.
Could Bischoff stay and Hogan go? Doesn't seem likely. But
there's
some signs to point that it's possible.
The reason that they like Bischoff still is again because Bischoff can talk to the Spike people. And they look at Dixie like an idiot.
It's a shoe.
Exactly. So, I mean, that's where Bischoff's value is. And really, that could be there, again, much like the company he worked for before, much like WCW, he could be their rise and fall. Because, not to say that TNA never really rose, but he could ultimately, his leaving could be the demise of the company more than his arrival. You know, because if you lose that liaison to TNA, or to Spike, rather, who's going to talk to him? Who's going to have the partner? And that's it. Without them, they're done.
I mean,
when
I think of the biggest mistake they ever made, it was taking the book away from Scott D'Amore just when they were getting on Action TV.
Well, that's hiring Russo, though. He said outside of hiring Russo, and that really...
I mean,
that was
could have gone with somebody else, and still would have been...
They could have gone with somebody else, and still would
have been...
You know
what I mean? But, I mean, well,
yeah.
It was...
Yeah, that's right.
You know, they could have gone with Dutch Mantel,
you know,
and it still would have been a mistake. Because,
yeah.
I mean, D'Amore was giving a product that was universally being lauded as being a nice alternative to WWE at the time, and you got to check this out by the people who had seen it. Now, the other one is there's been a few times when they had a guy who was ready to take off. Now, obviously not take off to the Austin level because they weren't able to reach that. But take off past the level they ever had anybody. Samoa Joe was one of them.
Samoa Joe.
There's a few times, not just him, there's a few times, fairly regularly, where Christian was one.
Christian.
Even Bobby Roode there a couple of years ago. They're just about to go to the next level, and every time they do, they don't go with them. Or something stops. Or it starts, and
something happens,
they never establish a guy that you go, that's their superstar. AJ Styles is the closest, and that's because of tenure more than because of tenure and quality more than because of actual stardom.
What do you think about going to Monday nights? Remember to Monday nights?
It was. They weren't ready.
I mean, if you look in hindsight, they were getting kind of 1.1, 1.2s on Thursday. They went to Monday, and then they moved back to Thursday. They tried it. It failed, and they went to 1.0. Now they're back to 1.1, 1.2.
They brought in a bunch of people.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
They brought in a bunch of outside stars.
Jeff Hardy, Rob Van Dam, Hogan, you know, the Nasty Boys, the Outsiders, Bubba the Love Sponge.
Yeah, they brought in a lot of people that could short-term give you a little bit of interest, but only
to turn you onto their real real stars. And they didn't understand that those are the people who need to create the actual stars.
They did. No, they did, but they didn't do it right. I mean, they put AJ Styles over
Flair. Yeah, they did.
You know, because it was, wasn't it AJ against Rob Van Dam?
Yeah, Rob Van
Or Kurt Angle.
He lost the belt to Rob Van Dam. Rob Van Dam's like second week in the company. He was the world champion and just beat Sting clean at Bound for Glory. Then turns around, Rob Van Dam comes in, he loses right away to him. Same thing, you bring in the Nasty Boys.
And you were trying to do it, but...
Holy shit, it's the Nasty Boys. Let's put them... But the problem was you were now start giving more TV time to the Nasty Boys than to...
Val Venus.
That was a big mistake. It wasn't just... The way they went on Monday night, like I say, it's one thing. If they had a plan and they had worked together and had a little momentum and the product...
They didn't have enough money.
To sustain
they didn't have enough money. Because TNA, that was the last time, or it wasn't the last time, but TNA felt like a really big deal for that.
For a little
month
while,
and
they
a half.
Invested in them.
6 weeks.
No,
6 weeks. And it was because it was a very Nitro feel in terms of who's coming next, what's happening next, what are they going to do next. But they couldn't sustain it, you're right. Especially at
the
pace
they needed to use these people to make the stars of their own people. These people didn't want to. Nobody they were bringing in. Scott Hall didn't want to lay down for AJ Styles. You know, as stupid as that is, he wouldn't.
But he would have put him over. He put over Hector Garza and he put over Chris Jericho.
And it's the same thing, though. I mean, again, if they had figured out everybody's role, both behind the scenes and on camera, and got some momentum on Thursday, and everybody's like, you got to see this, you're just not seeing it. Then go to Monday night. But when it's like, holy shit, we got everybody, now let's throw them and go head-to-head with them. Now we have equal star power. Let's go head-to-head with them.
Yeah.
They did a big, like a 1.8 or something like that, 1.9 that first night, or maybe even higher. Maybe they even broke a...
I think it was 1.8.
Yeah. They might have even broken 2. They definitely broke a 2, like that first hour or something like that, before WWE came on with Bret Hart.
Yeah, that's right.
Shawn Michaels and Bret Hart for sure.
Yes. I think they did a 2 and,
so
like a 1.
People knew they existed. But what they did wasn't high enough quality that people said, I gotta be back.
Yeah.
And that's because they weren't...
Yeah.
They just did it without doing it right.
Yes.
So no, they should have gone on Monday.
Right.
If you're not going to do it,
it was the Russo Bischoff. It was the Russo Bischoff era of Nitro. Exactly what it was. Another person they've released is a longtime person. SoCal Val has been released. I'm not sure anybody will miss that.
No.
SoCal Val.
Yeah. I didn't understand that she was still there, but again, there's a lot of people they don't have on TV. Again, well, same thing in WWE. Why do you look at the house show results to go, oh shit, that guy's still hard?
Yeah.
If that's where you would look at,
yeah.
And you'd see, you know, Alex Riley, say 3 months ago, and you go, oh, he's still hired, and now you see him on TV occasionally.
So.
He sounds calling, right?
So. Apparently,
the Marvel Experience,
WWE going to collaborate.
That'll suck.
Yep. Wrestling and comic books have never mixed. Let's do a crossover. We talk wrestling or we read some of the comic books from the history of comic books that have come out that are wrestling in them. What do you say?
I'm all good with that as long as I don't
have to read.
The producer can read to you.
Excellent.
Maybe we can get somebody to come put some book on tapes for them.
I got some. This is totally off topic, but my dad gave me a box of like my old comic books when I saw him last weekend. So I now have all 10 episodes of issues of Speedball, the Mass Marvel, in my basement.
That's worth money.
I have a Wolverine number one.
That's actually, I hope that's
worth money,
really.
It is. It's got like the bag with the thing on the back there, the board. Yeah, it's got no nails in it though. It's not Janus. No. And then I have all my Punisher comics. Yeah, there you go. So, and my Punisher War Journal, and a bunch of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle comics.
There you go.
So, old ones too.
That's good. Now, you don't have to invest in anything
good.
That's it.
My future is done. Future is done. Retire. I'm just going to retire and do We Talk Wrestling all day long.
Yeah.
What is... And then the product's going to pick up. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah. All right. Let's get the hell out of here.
All right.
Go
O-U-T.
Let us go O-U-T. @ADDIE at WeTalkWrestling.com is how you can email us. At WeTalkWrestling on Twitter. Facebook.com/WeTalkWrestling is a great way to keep up with all the latest shows and get us there. We're on iTunes. You can subscribe to us there, and you can rate us and leave some positive feedback that we enjoy, or negative feedback that we'll ignore. We also have Stitcher. No, I love reading about how good I am.
I never get those.
Soon.
I've had one like that for me.
Oh, no. Well, if you think of, like, for a while there, PHAT meant really cool. So if you think, like, most the fattest, you could be like, yeah, I am.
They didn't spell it that way, though.
They didn't spell it that way, though, I'm just saying. But you could pretend.
Well, I barely know how to spell, so it works.
That works. Stitcher. You can also get us on Stitcher. Am I missing anything?
Boobies.
Boobies. Oh,
WeTalkWrestling.com is our website there, where there sadly are no boobies. Actually, there's a picture of you there in the about us. You got tits.
So
I think that's it. That's going to do it for this week. So in the meantime and in between time, that's it. Another edition of We Talk Wrestling. Good night, folks.
I also like to call them tatas.
Yeah, I really need a bra, you do.